this. I grew up as a huge WWE wrestling fan as a kid. Of course, it was called WWF back then, and I always thought it'd be great if pastors had theme music to walk down up here to. That probably wouldn't have been mine, Sam. I'm just saying, but that's all right. How are you guys? You guys doing good? Thank you again for helping us yesterday with the Missions Carnival. We bagged and gave away over 200 pounds of candy. And I think that was the greatest that we ever did, greatest that we ever raised. And so that was awesome. Give yourself a hand for just helping us and being a part of that. All right. I want to talk to you today. The title of this message is Be Like Jesus or Believe Like Jesus. And if you have your Bible, so I want you to turn. We're going to turn two places today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 2 as well. First Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to read somewhere in verse 9 and on. And as you guys are turning there, it wasn't just the coldest day by my estimation. It was the coldest day on record for this time of year. I never watched the news. I just happened to flip through in the channel and saw the newscast. And right there it said, coldest temperature since 1967. And we were out there, a few of us, yesterday. We had frost all over the tables. And I thought, well, how are we going to get this off? We have to put tablecloths down. I'm just giving you time to turn here, so just bear with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I thought, the fearless leader that I am thought, hey, I'm going to get some water, pour it down on here, wipe the tables off. I did. That doesn't work when it's below that low. It really made the situation worse. Thankful for people like Brandon and Nikki and Joe who just stared at me and said, what is wrong with you? And pulled out like defrosting spray and scrapers. And I reminded them that I have a reverend in front of my name and not a doctorate or anything like that. So I proved it. And they let me know about it a lot. You guys there? Tired of making fun of myself. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to talk about believing like Jesus today. Let's read here. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Don't we love these verses? These are awesome. Verse 10, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. These are great promises to us here. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Explaining spiritual realities with spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Verse 15. Person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But, everyone say, but, we have the mind of Christ. Come on, let's say it again. But, we have the mind of Christ. That is a very important verse for our Christian walk. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. I think these verses that we're going to read here in Philippians 2 are probably my most important verses to me in my life. Different times. I don't know if you guys have this. I don't know how to explain this. I won't do justice to it, but it's like a pair of old comfortable jeans or something like that. When it makes you feel comfortable, there are certain verses that when you read them, every time you read them, you could read them 100 times, you will always get something out of them. This is these verses for me. The verses that we're going to read is actually historians, scholars think that this was actually a hymn of the early church, these next few verses. And so as we read it, we get a little snapshot of what the early church did with their worship. And so Paul is quoting to the church at Philippi, but he's quoting them a song that they're already singing often. And he's reminding them of this. You can see it probably in your Bible. It's indented and looks a little bit different than the other words in the paragraph. Verse 5, in your relationship with one another, relationships with who? One another, right? Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, okay? Who being in very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is their worship song. He's reminding them, hey, these are the lyrics we just sang. Just like we sang, how marvelous is our love. He's reminding them of the truth of this worship to them. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Just want to read verse 5 again. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. I want to talk to you this morning, just for a few moments, about believing like Jesus. Can we pray? I always like to pray here. And this prayer is always for ourselves, that we would be able to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us in these next few moments. Would you help me today? Father, we love you. And Holy Spirit, we know you're here. We just give you permission to speak to us. And we just ask for you to just open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our spirits to whatever you have to say to us this morning. And as we pray often, Lord, we want to have the courage to obey whatever you say, Lord. We don't want to just take in information today. We want to make application in our life. And that's our purpose, Lord, that we would take application outside of these four walls into the world we walk in to bring your kingdom to this earth. In your name we pray. Everybody said, come on, everybody said, believe like Jesus. A little over a week ago, my family and I, we traveled to Ohio to go spend some time with my parents. We had a great, great time. Wasn't as cold as it is now up there, so I don't know how that works. But kids had fall break. We had a great time. And while we were away, had some friends of ours, Jack, Cecil, Dan, who were helping us with a few repairs in our apartment, bringing some upgrades to us. And one of the upgrades that they brought, or one of the things that they did to fix, was a light fixture in our place. I'm going to tell you about this light fixture. I promise you, I'm a preacher. I'll make it connect to our story here in just a second. Just bear with me. All right. This light fixture sat at the bottom of our stairs. And a little while ago, depending on who walked by or what motion you walked by or if a kid was running up the stairs, it would flicker. Okay? Not a big deal. At some point, it just stopped working altogether. And if I could just touch it and wiggle it in the right way, it might come on. And then eventually, it just didn't work at all. Not a big deal. Not really a huge inconvenience for us. But just one of those things. And after a while, because I'm ill-equipped with a screwdriver and a wrench. Curtis, seriously. Even Curtis is laughing at me. I feel your judgment, man. It's all right. It's okay. I'm manly enough. Don't take my man card today. And it's all right. Give me anything with a USB cord and I'll be in the game. But anything with a screwdriver and a wrench or anything like that, I'm limited. So I did what I normally do, which is, Pastor John, I turned off the breaker. I turned it back on. I wiggled it. It doesn't work. Pastor John's always so kind, and he says, well, I can't really do anything either, Andre. So we have people like Jack to help us. I think he's just making me feel better. I don't know about that. So they came. We'd gotten used to this light fixture being completely out, just lived life without it being there. Understand? It was just like, okay, it's not a big deal. When we got home, this light fixture was changed. It was a new one. It was an LED light fixture. Everyone say, ooh, everyone say, ah, right? And I promise you, when we came into the house after that break, we looked at that light fixture like we had never seen electricity before in our life. Maybe it was just me. Because those kind of things are amazing that there are men that can do that and I can't. Sorry, Dad. I know you'll listen to this, but I'm like we're just oohing and awing at this light fixture, just like huddled around like cavemen seeing fire for the first time, and just admiring it. We couldn't believe it. It was amazing. In that moment next to salvation and being married and the birth of my children, this light fixture had completely changed my life. I'm serious. I'm thinking, this is amazing. It puts out so much light. It looks so much clearer. I thought, oh, man, I feel kind of bad. The church upgraded this. I went to Jack, and I thought, oh, Jack, was this expensive? And he says, no, not expensive. Got it on sale. Less than the cost it would take to go to McDonald's, you know. And I said, oh, Jack, thank you. It must have been hours to put this in. He said, Jack just kind of shrugged me off like he does often about those kind of things. And he says, no, it just took about 5 to 10 minutes. Change it out. Amazing to me. Listen, I'm going to make this work. Hold on. We got used to a non-working fixture in our lives. What wasn't working became the normal, came the default, got used to it, rearranged our life about this light not working there. Okay, but a small change at a fairly inexpensive price made something that wasn't valuable to us valuable again. Pastor preached an amazing message last week. I don't know if you heard it. I don't know if you sat here and really heard what she was saying to us. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, you need to go hear it. And if you missed it and you're saying here, well, I just thought it was one of Pastor's messages, you need to go listen to it again. Because what she was declaring to us as a church, as an apostle does, like Pastor's an apostle, one of the roles that she plays is to always point us to heaven. That's an amazing thing that she does. We're blessed to have that apostle anointing among us. She's always going to point us towards pursuing the kingdom. And she did that. And she declared over our church that the best is yet to come. And over again, she was making that declaration that the best is yet to come. If you were here, I hope you caught it. And really, for me, I want us to adopt that as a core value for us here as the church. That's something we just begin to look at each other, begin to say, that when we talk about our church, that one of the things that comes out first out of our mouths, not a complaint, not a criticism, is that declaration that the best is yet to come. And guess what? That's exciting, incredible, because we've had some amazing things happen in the history of our church. And Pastor was getting us ready to say, hey, God is moving among us. It's starting to feel like something. The best is yet to come. Everything that has happened in the history of this church, what's going to happen next is greater. And by the way, if you're visiting here, if you're not a part of this church, that's not just a church thing. That's a kingdom thing. That's how that works. That the kingdom is forward. It's momentum. It's always increasing. It's glory to glory. We're always growing. The best is yet to come. That's a core value of the kingdom. Pastor was trying to get us ready for that. I want to piggyback on her message today and declare to you again that the best is yet to come. However, we can miss this as a church, as an individual, if we get used to our non-working fixtures in our life. If we start negotiating with those things and we start making agreements with those things. I want to talk to you today about believing like Jesus. Everything within me believes that the best is yet to come. I believe that for my life, I believe it for my family, and I believe it for our church. It's wild, it's fun, it's scary, and it's super exciting. It's exciting that because it means me and you have a part to play. It's exciting to me because my kids have a part to play in the best is yet to come. That makes me excited. That's really fun. I realize this truth in my life. Sometimes the hindrance to me receiving something like that, and maybe you were sat in the service last week and that thing just bounced right off you. And the reason why, what I've realized about my own life, is that I do a really good job at believing in Jesus. I love Jesus. I worship him. I tithe. I make sacrifices. Sometimes I do a really bad job at believing like Jesus. There's a huge difference. We can believe in Jesus and not believe like Jesus. That's what I want to talk to you today about, is making those two things come together. That your relationship with Jesus starts to look like you're acting like he is. That how we see him in the Gospels is how we approach life and approach this kingdom. Hello? You with me? Do you guys agree with me in that sense? I'm guilty of this. There are certain areas of my life where, like, there we talk about this often. I've talked to you guys about this. There are part we can put our life in compartments. We can do this really good, and then we have those couple areas of our life where we're like, yeah, we know that we're not believing like Jesus, but we don't want to do anything about it. It just becomes those light fixtures in our life that aren't working. And if we will just make a change, we'll be amazed at what God wants to do. It's important in this community that we call Shekinah, that we declare that with our belief, that we begin to believe like Jesus, not just believe in him. We live in a place in the United States where there's a thing called cultural Christianity. Hello? You know when I'm reminded of it? When I go home. When I go up north. It's just different. I didn't ever realize it before. Some of you guys may not know it because you grew up here. Okay? But we live in a place where being a Christian or loving Jesus is just a part of who you are to be a Southerner sometimes. It's okay, I've been here 10 years. Will you give me some room? Can you give me like a half Southerner status or something like that? Can you not stone me after? I know I like Ohio State and not SEC football, but that's okay. Just help me a little bit. I do like sweet tea. All right? Okay. But, oh my gosh, Fran is here. Fred, if you guys came to our missions carnival yesterday, you'd have met the three most interesting men I've ever met in my life. They were farmer friends of Mike Bracken. They were like out of a movie to me. I'm not even sure I understood a word they said. But I really liked them. I wanted to hang. You know what these guys did? They were awesome. They didn't play a game. I don't think they talked to anybody. They talked to each other around a fire the whole 3 hours. And I was fascinated by these guys. We live in a place where there's a thing called cultural Christianity. There's a lot of people that believe in Jesus. But the difference, what's going to make a difference for you, what's going to make a difference for this church, what's going to make a difference in your own household, is if you make the decision that in every area of my life, I'm not just going to believe in Jesus, I'm going to believe like Jesus. Hello? And it's a change, and we know it. And that's what's going to attract people to the kingdom. When they begin to see not people that, because, you know, there's a lot of things that get associated with Jesus and Christianity that has nothing to do with Jesus, right? What was the famous quote by Gandhi who says, I like your Jesus, I don't like your Christians. Hello? That hits home. I've read that quote 100 times, and it rings true sometimes, okay? We have to believe like Jesus, not just in him. How do we do it? There's a remedy. We just read these verses. 1 Corinthians 2:16. It's found in the verses from Apostle Paul. How do we believe like him? The Bible says that we have access to believing like Jesus. We have the mind of Christ, right? Philippians 2:5 says, we know this from the King James, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, right? It's funny. I've prayed these verses before. I've prayed that because I knew that I was supposed to pray that about different situations. But the last couple of weeks, the Lord has just been stirring in my heart. What does it really mean to have the mind of Christ in my life? Does it look like a brain transplant? What does it look like? How do I make it happen? How do I make it more than just lip service? Hello? In my life. How do I really believe like Jesus? Because that's what Paul says. You know what he says? Paul was telling us, like, in the Old Testament, we didn't have access to this kind of thinking. Remember, God tells us, I think it's in Isaiah, he says, like, no one can think my thoughts. My thoughts are higher than yours. But because the cross happens, Paul's saying, because the cross happens, you actually have access to the thoughts of Jesus. There's a change. Bill Johnson talks about this. He talks about recognizing, reading in your Bible, what happens through the cross. There are some things that don't make it into through the cross from the Old Testament. There are some things that do, and there are some things that begin because of the cross. So does that make sense? In the New Testament, we can think higher thoughts. We can think kingdom thoughts. We can think like Jesus. Paul's saying you have access to this. But does it just happen because we pray and say, God, give me your brain? Or what happens? The word for mind in these verses is actually the word mindset. Now that helps me for some reason. Mind of Christ sounds way out there to me, but mindset of Jesus, I get that. Because I understand mindsets. Because whether we know it or not, we all operate in mindsets every day, every moment of our life. We know. Sometimes we wake up and say, it's going to be a bad day. I feel it. And then all day we're justifying why it was a bad day. I told you it was going to be a bad day. Right? We say things like that, right? We get up and we choose a mindset how we're going to live our life. We say things like, I'm just going to give a person a piece of my mind. Right? We say things like that. We're saying, hey, I'm going to give them a part of my mindset, what I'm really thinking about this situation. Don't we do this? Am I the only one that's guilty? Don't leave me. I know I'm a half Southerner, but don't leave me out there today. Okay, we are guilty of doing these things. In our English language, the definition of mindset means a fixed mental attitude or a disposition that predetermines a person's response and interpretations of situations. In other words, it means what you think about is how you're going to respond. You've already predetermined it. Paul says you don't just have to do it out of your own strength. You have access to do it how Jesus did it. That's exciting. Here's how Oswald Chambers explains it. You guys know Oswald Chambers? Most for his highest. I want you to read this. This is kind of wordy, but I want you to hear what he says. We are apt to forget that the mind of Christ is supernatural. His mind is not a human mind at all. Never run away with the idea because you have, I want you to hear this, because you have the Spirit of Christ, therefore you have his mind. God gives us the Spirit, but he does not give us his mind. We have to construct the mind of Christ. And it can only be done as we work out in the habits of a holy life, the things that were familiar in the life of our Lord. This is important. We cannot form the mind of Christ once for always. In other words, it's not a one-time deal. We have to form it always. That is, all the time and in everything. That's deep truths. Deep calls to deep. Oswald interprets this, when we are saved, we get the Holy Spirit. We have access, we have a measure of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that experience as well. But he says, just because you're saved doesn't mean you automatically walk around with the mind of Christ. You have to go get it, and get it in your life. It's a gift to you, you have access to it, but he says, every day of your life, you have to take on that mindset. Are you with me? Is it okay? Listen, I'm coming from the premise of the best is yet to come, and that sometimes we miss it because of our mentalities and our mindsets. We've been given access to these mindsets, but we still have to choose it. It's like my broke like light fixture. So many times we choose to stay with a mindset that isn't working, that's not bringing much light. Come on, help me. Just humor me with my application a little bit, okay? Did you get it? Not much light. Okay. Because it's comfortable, it's easier, or whatever else excuse we have. We will live with broke down mindsets because we don't want to make the changes in our life. Okay? It is sad but true. I think one of the things I want you to leave here today is recognizing, is there a mindset in my life I'm living with that is broken, not working? And do I need to exchange it today? Do I need to grab hold of that this morning? There's a game that Carrie and I play with our kids. They don't really know it. They're here today. I'm going to fill them in on this secret. You guys ready? Excited? We play this game. And it's when they are behaving or acting, it could be good, it could be bad, it could be somewhere in between, and we'll look at each other and say, she's acting just like you. That is your daughter. That is your son. I don't think you've ever been a parent if you haven't played that game with your spouse or with your family, right? Well, I know where they get that from. We say these comments. You know what happens? What are we recognizing? We're recognizing mindsets, right? It's amazing. Actually, neuroscience is studying that generationally we can pass on mindsets through the generations. It's amazing that one generation that has a certain mindset will predispose the next generation to a different mindset. It's unbelievable some of the science that's coming out. And they're also telling us, and Christians are coming out, not just Christians. I read a thing that says the time is coming that when you get your prescribed medicine, that there's also going to be a prescription that's going to say, like, think on these things, that verse. Because they're finding out that the things that we think out are just as strong as the medicine we take. They said that day is at hand for us, that we're going to be handed two prescriptions. That's pretty amazing. There's some studies that are telling us that our thoughts are responsible from everywhere from 75% to 92% of mental illness and disease in our life. That they're starting to trace that our thinking, our mindsets have such an impact on our life. This is a really big deal. It's really important. Doesn't matter what age you're in here in this room. Teenagers, I want you to pay attention. Children, I want you to hear me today. If you can get a hold of this now, you'll save yourself so much heartache and turmoil and trouble in your life. You say, I'm going to take on the mind of Christ in my life. We have a lot to do as a church. Tri-Cities doesn't need just another person or church that believes in Jesus. Johnson City, Bristol, and Kingsport needs a church that believe like Jesus. Not just a church, not just so we can wave our flag and say, we're Shekinah Church, we're awesome. Do you like my leg lift there? We're awesome. Not just so that, but because, don't laugh at me. Because wherever we go in these areas, what people are longing for is not just another Jesus person. They're looking for somebody that looks and acts and feels like Jesus. And that's the real kind of thing that brings revival into this area. Remember, Pastor told us the best is yet to come. I believe we're on the precipice. We're in the beginning stages of something great. We can't miss it because of our mindsets today. Come on, your marriage, your children, your friends, the school you attend, the job you work, needs a person who believes like Jesus. Jesus is perfect theology. We can look at Jesus' life and actions and mindsets and raise them up as a standard for our lives. So the easy thing, and I'm only going to pick out three today, because we could take weeks to just go through the Gospels and say, how did Jesus think about this situation? How did he respond to these things? And what I'm saying, you could go through the Gospel of John and just see how he related to people, and that alone could change your life radically. If you just say, I'm going to act, if you read a passage and you walked out your door and said, I'm going to act like this today, it would change everything. Are you with me? Not just gathering the information, but that we actually begin to do what we know. That's what I'm talking about today. Three mindsets, I think, that Jesus showed us that we need to have in our life. Are you with me? You good? Then we'll be done. We'll pray. All right? I won't do that leg lift thing again, though, because that was kind of weird. All right, number one is the mindset of humility, the humility mindset. This is one of the biggest, every mindset that Jesus carried in his life was always framed through this mindset. The whole thing, the whole deal, the whole gospel, this whole book is about this, the humility mindset. Paul tells us here, Jesus was humble. The scholars love these verses because they begin to tell us a story about Jesus that he did not just die once on the cross, that he actually died before he came to the cross. In a sense, he gave up his life twice when he came to earth. Don't ever think for a second that this was some kind of like, that God played some kind of game with Jesus or this things just happened. Jesus said, I will choose to come as a human. I will choose to come and come as a baby. I will choose to give my life. Everything that Jesus did was a choice. It wasn't just by happenstance. It didn't just happen by accident. Are you with me? He chose these things to show us how to be humble, how to walk in humility. The Bible tells us he gave up everything in heaven because he loved us and he loved the Father. He walked in humility. So many times, some of the problems and tensions and frustrations and even the sin in our life can be pinpointed to a lack of humility. This happens all the time. This has happened recently. Carrie and I will have these conversations and we'll talk through situations. And this has been happening. Carrie can tell you, I've been saying, man, I think what's going on here in this situation or in my mindset, just talk about me, is, man, I just need a humility, or this person just needs a dose of humility in this situation. It would diffuse everything. Humility is a big deal. And we have all kinds of pictures of what we think humility is, but don't ever think for a second that humility is weak. Hello? Jesus modeled death on the cross. That was the strongest, most masculine, most strong thing ever. Don't ever think that humility is being a victim, because it's not. It's two different things. Humility is putting your life down so others can prosper around you. Hello? And what we lack sometimes as a community, as a church here, is the ability to walk in humility. Humility will keep your opinion to yourself. Hello? Come on, we're guilty of that, man. We will just say whatever and not even realize that when we release those words, what kind of damage it'll have. We'll post whatever on social media and not realize what we're doing. Humility puts that in check for you. You have a right to an opinion, but humility will filter that in your life. Hello? Come on. Some of your opinions are just dolled up criticisms of people in church. It's makeup and lipstick. And, well, that's just my opinion. I love when people tell me that. That's funny. What you're really saying is, I have a serious critical thought here, and I want you to do something about it. Hello? And we do this all the time, not just in church. We do it all the time. We do it in our marriages. We do it in our friendships. We do it with our children. Okay? Humility teaches us how to lay down some of our rights so other people can prosper. Jesus did it. He modeled it. And so it's a lack of humility that will hurt somebody and be judgmental. It's a lack of humility in our lives that causes us to gossip. Hello? Happens. It can happen in this community here. It's a lack of humility that causes us to hold on to grudges and unforgiveness. A lack of humility will cause us to blast the church, even though Jesus gave his life for it. Hello? Anytime that you are critical of the church, not just this church, but the church worldwide, you are criticizing the death of Jesus Christ. Hello? He didn't just give his life for your salvation and mine. He gave it so that he could build his church. Come on, I'm serious today. It's true. And so anytime that we will spout out all these kind of statements about it, we're judging something that was done in humility. We need humility in our life. I need humility. I do. I'm saying I'm first in this. I'm speaking something to you that the Lord has been talking about in my own life. Jesus modeled how we're to carry ourselves in the context of community. I really believe that Acts 2:42 through 47 is humility in action. We know this. They continue steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, had all things in common, and sold their possessions and good, parted them to all men as every man had needed, and they continued daily with one accord, not in one Honda, in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat, and gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord add it to the church daily. I want the Lord to add to this church. Pastor John, you could correct me if I'm wrong in this, but I don't know if God will trust people to come here if we're not willing to receive people in humility. Hello? That's important. If we're just going to always be a gossip, grudge-holding type of people, I'm not saying that we are. If we don't walk in humility, we'll stay these people. I don't think that's our purpose and destiny, because the best is what? Yet to come. Okay? There's a great author this week that slammed. He slammed all charismatic churches, held a conference. He's a well-known author with a great following. You can go into the local Christian bookstores around here. They highlight, prominent his books, his Bibles. And he came out and just said, hey, if you are a charismatic church, if you believe in the Holy Spirit, if you believe in the gifts, if you believe in apostles, you are biblically incorrect. These things are not happening. Nothing new if you follow his ministry and you know what he's about, but he said it on such a level, it got social media presence. He had a conference called Strange Fire. He basically said that the Holy Spirit, anybody talks about the fire of the Holy Spirit, you're dealing with a strange fire. Slammed us, just slammed us, said we have no relevance. I don't believe that. I don't think our church here is perfect. I don't think our movement is perfect. Okay, but I don't want to do this thing called church without the help of the Holy Spirit. I need his help. I need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But here's where I see it today. Sometimes the weakness of a church like ours that is pursuing revival, pursuing prayer. Okay, this is my introspection on it. Sometimes we can think that our character is exempt because we're doing these things. We can't stop working on our character because we're touching the presence of God. Those two things go hand in hand. Okay? That's what I'm talking about, humility. Humility is about our character being built up. Okay? I got to move quickly today. Humility allows you someone to speak in your life and you to receive it. Humility allows you to honor people who are different than you, who may not deserve it. Humility allows you to encourage people. Humility produces peace. Second one, real quick, the second mindset that Jesus carried was the identity mindset. His identity in God was sure. And Jesus modeled for us that it matters what we think about who we are in God. Right? And this is where a lot of us get wrong. This is where I go off the track a little bit sometimes, is when I begin to think, or when I begin to base my identity in something other than God. Okay, here's how Jesus modeled for us. What sets Jesus apart is not just the incredible miracle, signs and wonders, anointed teaching, selfless sacrifice, which would be enough for us. What sets him apart was the deep understanding and trust that he was loved by God the Father. Right? That's what makes him a little bit different. Jesus is in obscurity for 30 years. And when he steps onto the scene, the very first thing that happens, you guys know your Bible. He goes down to see John the Baptist. He goes to get baptized. Okay? He takes on the baptism of a sinner, even though he's not a sinner. That baptism was for sinners. The Holy Spirit baptism is for something else. But Jesus humbles himself and goes and says, I'm going to be baptized like a sinner. What happens when he's baptized? When he comes out of the water, an audible voice from heaven speaks. Okay, this is important for us to see. I don't think Jesus needed this. I think he wanted us to see this is how we're to model it. Okay? What does God say to him? We know these words, right? This is my son whom I love. I am pleased with him. Some verses says, this is my beloved son. What happens immediately after that? Jesus goes into the wilderness. He's tempted by Satan. Satan, now I want you guys to see this, because Satan realizes that one of the greatest things he can do is not get you caught up in some kind of habit. One of the greatest things that he can do is mess up your identity in God. And Jesus modeled this for us, and he showed us this, because when he goes into the wilderness, what does Satan say to Jesus? This is right after this. Do you remember? Yeah. Satan goes after his identity. He says three times, if you are the Son of God. Three times, because Satan knows, he knows this about us, he knew this about Jesus. If he could just get him off his identity, that he would mess him up. But you know what Satan did? He left off the beloved part. Just to mess with Jesus. And Satan does that to us too. He wants us not to really realize our identity in Christ. Never let circumstances dictate and negotiate your identity with the Father. No matter what the test coming your way, no matter if you fail, no matter if you sin, always fight to keep the mindset that you are the beloved child of the Heavenly Father. Listen, you are blessed and highly favored. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. He delights in your prosperity. That's what Psalm says. He wants to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. This is our identity. Anything less than that is a charade. It's a fake. It's something. It's a substitute. Satan wants to disconnect you from your Father's love. Those of you that are at our parenting class, you understand that word. He wants to disconnect you from your father's love. Here's Bill Johnson. I can't afford to have a thought in my head about me that's not in his head about me. Come on. I can't afford to have a thought in my head about me that's not in his head about me. That's life there. This pastor out of Charlotte, he says this, Jesus was like us in many ways. Scripture says he was in all points tempted as we are. But of all the ways he was different from us, perhaps the most crucial one is this, Jesus never forgot who he was. When we do, we play a different role than we were destined to be. We are called to have a mindset that our identity is found only in Jesus first. Okay, last one. You guys good? Almost done. Number three, the supernatural mindset. Jesus walked this earth with the understanding that all things were possible with God. That's what it means to have a supernatural mindset. Every area of your life, every valley, every mountaintop experience, it does not waver. Supernatural mindset is saying that no matter what circumstances are before me, all things are possible with God. Jesus modeled that. He broke religious protocol. He did stuff on the Sabbath. He messed people's mindsets up because he walked through situations and said, no matter what is going on here, all things are possible with God. And that wasn't just so we could say, wow, that's Jesus. It was so that we could see that's possible for us too. To have the mind of Christ means that we walk around with the supernatural mindset that when we wake up in the morning, we're not saying, this is going to be a bad day. We're waking up saying, all things are possible today. I know, I know because it's not always easy because sometimes we live with the problems, right? They don't seem to go away when we go to sleep at night. They're hanging out with us. You know, it's like we're feeding another person in our family because we have this problem that lives with us, okay? But I'm not taking it lightly because for all of us, it's different. Okay, some of us need a healing. Some of us need financial breakthrough. It's time for those kind of things to happen. But oftentimes, those things are trying our perseverance. And our job is just to keep picking up that mindset and saying, all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Whatever it is, and there are going to be things that happen to you that are just so unique for you. They're going to become that light fixture in your life. They're going to just mess with you. They may not mess with the next person over from you, but they will mess with. They will cause you to lay down a mindset and pick up an old one that feels comfortable. Okay? You know what one of mine is? Can I just have full disclosure here? You won't point and laugh at me? Okay, thank you, Vestia. Thank you. You know what one of mine is for me that really messes me up, that fights? And this is sounds kind of silly, but when I have car trouble in my life, it messes with me. Because I remember I told you I'm a USB cord kind of guy, okay? It really does something for me. I have to fight to stay in a supernatural mindset, to believe that all things are possible. God can fix my Jeep, okay? I have to believe that, even when I'm staring at it in the parking lot going, it's not fixed yet. And I'm looking at my bank account going, I don't know how this is going to happen, but we're going to make this happen, okay? That's silly. But you can insert your own situation into there. And there are things that we default on when they happen that knock us off of the supernatural mindset. Expectation and faith are what Jesus walked in. He expected God to do something all the time. You know how we stay in that mindset. Jesus modeled to it. He stayed in prayer all the time. Some of the greatest miracles that happened in the Gospels. If you will go back just a paragraph before, you'll find Jesus praying, getting up early, or praying through the night. Some of the most amazing stories that we triumph as our Christian cornerstones happen because Jesus went to prayer. How we stay connected to that, all things are possible with God, is we take the time to pray. You have to start somewhere. I tell this to our children and youth all the time. Pray 3 minutes a day. Pray 5 minutes a day. Before you get out of bed, pray 1 minute. Any prayer is better than no prayer because that 1 minute of prayer will connect you somewhat to a supernatural mindset than no prayer. Wherever you are on that today, pray. Pray, pray, pray. It's so important. Jesus modeled to it. If Jesus had to pray, hello, we have to pray too. The news doesn't set my mindset. No political action, no political candidate, no president, no certain party will ever change my mindset. We made a decision a long time ago in my household that we will never put down our president, even if we disagree with him. We won't, because I refuse in my household to pick up a political mindset and partner with that. You can read and hear people like Chris Vallotton who teach about the danger of partnering with a political mindset. I won't do it in my house. We won't do it. We may not agree with everything, but we won't give atmosphere. We won't give that atmosphere in our life. Because I choose to believe that through God, all things are possible. That the best is yet to come. Not even in my family, but in our country, in our church, all those kind of things. So that's where I choose to look at it from. You may not like me for that. I don't care. That's just my choice. That's the way we have to. I do care, actually. I want you to like me. I want you to like my leg lift. I'm being tough, but I really do care. I want you to like me. But you won't change us. That's what I really want to say. You won't knock us off from that choice we've made about those kind of things. There's a lot of things that are happening this week in schools all over this nation. Teachers, two different teachers. You have to recognize this. East Coast, West Coast. Okay. All the way through our nation. Two different teachers killed in the school by students. East Coast, West Coast. Happening not, you know, Carrie prayed about this time of the year. We can't take these kind of things lightly. We have to be aware. We don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to be weird about our approaches to Halloween and that kind of thing. You don't have to be corny about it. But you have to recognize there's spirit force at work. I want to say to you today that there's not a mindset. Guns in the schools and the hands of teachers are not the answer for the problem. Jack, come here for a second. Come here. Come on. The answers for our school systems, is six-year-olds in their classrooms who bring a supernatural mindset into the school systems. It's not gun control. It's not security guards. It's not police officers. It's getting our children, starting now, to when they leave our houses in the mornings, and they believe that all things are possible with God, that they walk out surrounded by angels, that you are praying with your children and over your grandchildren, as they walk through schools and they release the presence of God wherever they go. This is the answer for school systems, young children that have a supernatural mindset. Amen. No other thing. That's why Pastor wants us to get to church on time. She's not just on you because you're not here. She wants you to get into worship so you'll have a supernatural mindset. I need this. Mike, the worship was phenomenal today. Thank you, Mike. Come on, let's honor Mike and the team. I need that worship because it starts off my week by putting on this supernatural mindset, this thing of like, all things are possible. That's why you have to fight when you get here to engage in worship however you can. If you can stand, stand the whole time. If you can't, it's all right. But just engage, worship, lift up your hands, because what you're doing in those moments are putting on that mindset to start your week. Are you with me? And that's why, thank you guys for coming early. Those of you guys who made a choice today, hey, I'm going to get here earlier so we can join in the middle. It was a big difference this week. Okay, keep doing it. I know why Pastor wants you, because she wants you to take part in this. We need to do it together as a church. I'm almost done. T.A. Hunt says, the cross changes our nature, but the resurrection changes our outlook. cross changes our nature. The resurrection changes our outlook. If Jesus can defeat death, then anything is possible. It's bigger than just a mindset. It's a lifestyle. Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living in you. That is the supernatural mindset, that Jesus defeated death, the one thing that could not be defeated. Hello? The one thing that could not be defeated, Jesus defeated it, which means we can believe that all things are possible. I want to close with this story quickly today. 1963, MIT meteorologist Edward Lorenz presented a hypothesis to the New York Academy of Science. Lorenz theorized that a minor event like the flapping of a butterfly's wing in Brazil could conceivably alter wind currents sufficiently to cause a tornado in Texas. His theory grew wings in the academic community and became known to the general public as the butterfly effect. The genesis of that theory was a prototype computer program that Lorenz designed to simulate and forecast weather systems. You see, I told you guys I wasn't good with tools, and now, you know, computers. All right. On the day of his accidental discovery, Lorenz had to hurry out of his office for a meeting. Instead of entering 0.506127, the number he had used in earlier trials, he rounded to the nearest thousand. Guy was in a rush, so he put 0.506. Lorenz figured that a change of 1/1000th of 1% would be not even noticeable. He figured wrong. When he returned to the lab that day, he found a radical difference in simulated weather conditions. According to Lorenz, the numerical difference between the original number and the round number was the equivalent of a puff of wind. But the net difference was the equivalent of a catastrophic weather event. The change was a puff of wind. The result was catastrophe. Lorenz came to the simple yet profound conclusion: minuscule changes in input can make a macroscopic difference in output. Mark Batterson says it like this: one change has the potential to make a 100% difference in your life. Would you stand with me this morning?